While you're standing, I'll give you my lesson for today. I have an assignment for you out of Luke 4 and 1. I have preached this, I don't know how many times I've read these verses, and I'm back to this again. 4 and 1, Luke, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. I want to take that little part that says, If thou be. If you are who you say you are, if you currently are, be is that present tense, if you be who you say you be, then why don't you turn this stone? We're talking about a hungry man right here. So if you are who you say you are, get after it. I want to teach this morning from that thought, if thou be. Lord, I ask you to open up our minds. Because if our minds aren't open, we will never, ever receive the word of the Lord. We only can receive it through our spirit. And our spirit operates through our mind. So open up our mind that our spirit may be in connection with your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to continue reading a few verses of scriptures to lay a little foundation for my teaching this morning. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, Examine your brother. Examine your neighbor, examine the preacher, examine the choir director, examine the board members, examine the church, examine Jesus. It's not what it says. Last time I took a test, they called it an exam. And it says, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Don't, if thou be, if you are who you say, no. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Reprobates are people who think they're right and believe in their heart that they're right, but they're wrong. One thing you can't change is a reprobate. You can't, because the Bible called a reprobate is those that are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. It's like a tree that's cut down, okay? It may sprout back up, but if you take it up from the roots, it's over with. And then Galatians 6 and 3 said, For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth nobody but himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. You ever been happy for yourself? You ever been glad I am what I am and who I am? I live the way I live. I'm happy with me. You don't have to be happy with me, but I'm happy with me. And if you're happy with me, yourself, then what does it matter? Rejoicing alone and not in another. Romans 12 and 12, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are not three wills of God. Somebody said, well, I'm in his acceptable will. I'm in his good will. Well, let me tell you, his will is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. There's not but one will of God. I want to talk about if thou be. Your enemy is always asking you to prove who you are. You know your enemies when they say prove it. You know that's a challenge, right? That's a challenge when you say prove it. But in reality, you can be trapped by, even though you can do it, you end up in a conflict that takes you away from what you can do. Then you get caught up in proving it rather than doing it. And there's another spirit behind that. And the Bible does not teach us to examine each other to prove to someone else. He said you need to prove to yourself. Let me tell you, I've had to prove to myself sometimes I can say no. I'll tell you, I've drank a lot of Diet Coke. And I proved to myself I'm not addicted to that because I said no. Through with that. Walked away from it. Through with that. Now, every once in a while, I wanted to prove to myself. I didn't need to prove to you. You. There's some things you just got to prove to yourself. The Bible teaches us not to examine others and compare ourselves among ourselves because he said in doing so, that's not wise. But if you'll learn to examine yourself, you'll be so busy examining yourself, you don't have time to examine me. He said, prove to yourself that you're in the faith. Am I who I say that I am? If I said, how many of y'all are Christian? I'd hope you would all raise your hands. But if I say it this way, how many of y'all follow Christ? That's a different story. To say you're a Christian, you say you love me, he said, keep my commandments. You keep following me around, but you don't do what I say. And we need to prove to ourselves that we are Christ-like, that we are Christians, lest we become reprobates. I'm telling you, speaking in tongues doesn't make you a Christian. Rolling on the floor won't make you a Christian. Prophesying won't make you a Christian. Following Christ will make you a Christian. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. And when a man proves his own work, then he has rejoicing, not in another, but in himself. Even when God made the world and there was nobody else to praise him, he said, it is good. And he was happy with what he did all by himself. There's no greater joy than you can have than be happy with yourself. And there's no greater misery than you can have than to not be happy with who you are. And I'm not trying to prove to anybody anything but to myself, and this is what I want to prove. What is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? I don't want to be caught up being conformed to the world that says, show me. The world lives by sight, but the last time I checked, the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you see it, it is no longer faith. And the world does not have any faith. They say, show me. And when you show them, you lost your faith. But when your mind is transformed, from not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you may be able to prove these three things. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Oh, my God. And the worlds we know were framed by the word of God, and things which were not made of things which do appear. Faith is an understanding. Do you? Faith is not knowledge. It is an understanding. By faith, we understand that the worlds were faith. I have an understanding. I've talked to people before, including my own children. Do we have an understanding? That's all. Do you understand? If you understand, and we understand that things which were made were not made for things to appear, that, my brother, is cement to me. That seals the deal for me. I've got faith. I don't need to prove it because I understand it. Oh, my God. Faith without works is what? It's dead and abides alone. When the works come, it destroys the faith, which eventually faith will be destroyed. Come on. We walk by faith, but eventually faith will be destroyed because when he comes back, you won't need faith anymore. So people, I'm still going to write a poem called People, People, People. It's coming. People tempt you. So you say you're a Christian. Who hasn't been told that? If you haven't been told that, you need to check yourself. Because the Bible says the righteous shall suffer persecution for my sake. Some people suffer persecution and it's not for his sake. That's just trouble. Now, proving, you ever been tempted to prove something? You know, but you know, when you prove something, here it is. It's Proverbs 26 and 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. But it's tempting to prove your point. So we find Jesus comes up out of the water. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He goes up and the Spirit of the Lord descended on him in a like a bodily form of a dove and lit upon him and remained. This is the anointed one. This is the Christ. He went down Jesus. He came up the Christ. And he walks, the Spirit, the Bible says, led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And the temptation was to prove it. Tempted to prove it. Tempted to prove it. Now, temptation to prove it is based upon one of three things. I wish I'd had time to do a PowerPoint on this, but you that have a pen or pencil, or you got good mental things up here that I don't have, write this down. Proving it can be done three ways, and it's right here in the book. Number one, by performance. Performance. Prove it by performance. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led spirit in the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted the devil, in those days did eat nothing. And when it was ended, afterward he hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If thou be who that voice said you was, if thou be the Son of God, then since you're hungry, pal, command this stone to be made bread. I'd be tempted. I'm hungry. I'll prove to you that I am the Son of God. Because nobody can turn stone to bread but God. So the devil is saying, let me see a performance. A performance is something you show that you can do it. It proves it. It's a demonstration. A performance won't increase your power, but it shows your authority or your ability. And when we try to prove to someone we're a Christian, it brings you down to their level. If someone says, if you say, hey, I'm a great guitar player. Brother, I don't know you. I go, here, show me. Prove it. Prove it. Well, you know in your heart whether you are or you're not. What's that going to prove? It brings you down to me. It puts you in subjection to me. I'm the one that doubts it. Let's test it. And so you take your guitar and then you have to perform. And so at that point when you say prove it, is that point you're tempted to do it. Once I provide you with the stone, once I provide you with the guitar, and you say you're a great guitar player, we plug in the amp and I say, now prove it. At that point, you're tempted to show them. So Jesus was brought into this wilderness to prove it. And you have to understand, when someone says prove it, you can quickly change your attitude from that of humility to that of I'll show you. The first temptation that Jesus had was that of performance. Let's see it. But let me tell you, performance really never wins the argument. It really never wins. Because that's never good enough. A performance. You know, there's a rich man in hell, and he said to Abraham, he said, send Lazarus. Well, that was denied. He said, tell my brothers, five brothers, they're on the way to hell, and tell them not to come here. And the answer came back and said, well, they have the prophets, you know, the ministry, they have that. And though one would be raised from the dead, though there would be a performance, they still. So you can try to prove it by performance, and they still won't believe you. It would have been very easy, because it's tempting, it would have been very easy for Jesus to take the stone, yield to the temptation, and turn it into bread. But rather than yielding to the temptation, Jesus answered him, saying, it is written in verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He answered, he replied to it rather than yielding to it. Now, after performance, number 2, the other way of proving it is by your possessions. By your possessions. You prove by possessions. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power, do you know possessions looks like power? You look at what people drive, you look at their house, you look at their everything they have. I call it the adornment. You own planes and all this kind of stuff. It makes you look powerful by what you possess. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whosoever I will give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. This shall be your possession, and possessions to the world is a symbol of power. And the devil told Christ that if you worship me, all, you see, you got to come under me to get that. You know, and Jesus, knowing he would have a hard time convincing the world, in fact, would never convince the world, my kingdom is not of this world. It would have been much easier for him to say, he'd come in and say, my kingdom is of this world. They'd have set up something for Christ. He'd have ruled for a while, and the Jews would have been happy. But he said, I refuse that. I'm not going to prove it by me coming under subjection or subordinate to you. No doubt Jesus was tempted to accept the crowd rather than the cross, because he knew what lied ahead. But nevertheless, he answered, verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. So when the first one did not work, when the performance didn't work and the possessions didn't work, then one thing that almost always works is position. It's position. Position somehow gets to people. I'm the president of, I'm the CEO of, I'm over the weed eating program. I'm over the prayer group. I'm over. There's something about a position. Well, I'm on the board. I'm on. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Now, the pinnacle of the temple, just so you'll know, to me, I think of the steeple. You know, I think of the top of the steeple. That's not what it was. The pinnacle of the temple was the highest place where royalty sat. It was way up in the temple so they could overlook all of the five porches that Solomon had. And so you could be seen. If you got up there, you were somebody. So he said, he took him to the place where the elite sit. And everybody could see you and you could see them. And set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. In other words, let everybody see you falling and see that you're over angels, because You know, your word says, you keep saying it's written. It's written that they'll pick you up before you dash your foot against the stone. For it is written, he shall give angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone that I told you to turn to bread. Jesus could have easily been tempted to show everybody that I am who I say I am. Could have sat up there in the highest, could have fallen off, and angels brought him back up, and they go, wow, he is the Son of God. But rather than proving it, he decided to reply to it. Verse 12, and Jesus answering and said unto him, it is said that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Did you see that? He didn't have to do any of that. I hope you caught that. The devil was trying to tell him to do all these things to prove who you are to the world and to everybody, because you just got to prove to people. You know, we live in a prove it. It's tough to pastor people that prove it. You can't do it? Well, you bless God, you better prove it. But when the devil had ended and had departed for a season, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame. He was popular without doing that, without turning the stone into bread, without saying, okay, I accept all these kingdoms, without casting himself down, without sitting up there. He was proving what was that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So this was the first temptation that Jesus encountered before he went into the temple and declared that the anointing is upon me. You remember, right after that, he goes into the temple and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. What does anointing do? Anybody remember? It breaks the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. If God anoints you for something, the only way you don't accomplish it is to quit. And so the first temptation we all have is prove it. The first temptation Jesus encountered, Brother Johnson, was prove it. Three times. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. And when you come to God and you come to Christ, the first temptation you got is the world says, well, prove it. Let's see what will become of that dream. Let's see how long she will live for God. Let's see if she'll stick with that. Let's see if he'll be like this 3 years from now. Let's see if Raynell Lewis will be here 10 years from now. Prove it! The only thing you need to prove is what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. He came. Now listen close. I'm almost done, but I got a really good thing I want you to hear here. When Jesus came into his ministry, the devil was there to resist him and say, if thou be the Son of God, then prove it. As Jesus exits his ministry, around the cross stood soldiers and said, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. A king can save people, right? What are you doing on the cross? If thou be, he came in with the devil saying, thou, if thou be. He's leaving with them saying, if thou be. And the Bible says that on the cross with him was two thieves, and one of them began to rail upon Christ. And this is what he said, if thou be. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us also. If you're a Christ is a Savior. If you're a Christ, then show me. What are you doing on a cross if you're a Christ? If you're a Savior, others he could save, but himself he cannot. Prove it. Christ was tempted in all points as we are. So I do remember when they was leading him away, that he said, don't think I couldn't call 10,000 angels, legions of angels, and stop this business right now. Tempted to do it. And in the garden, he's, Father, if there's any, tempted to do it, tempted to get out of it. Nevertheless, see, you've got to look at Jesus as if he had your body. We won't look at him like, oh, he was just God. No, he was Mary's boy too. And tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was tempted to give in just like you are. And being God in him, it was really tempting not to prove it. Jesus, when God made the world, when he had ended all of creation, he said, it's finished. And this is the generations of heaven and earth. Isn't that what it says in Genesis chapter 3, 4? No, 2. And it was finished. And this is the generations of heaven and earth. It's interesting that when Christ died on the cross, he also said, it is finished. It's finished. Can I tell you what he was saying? I proved it. I proved it. I proved what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I proved that a man can live without sin. He wasn't proving to the devil, proved to himself. And dying, he said, it's finished. It's finished. I close this morning and tell you that Paul also said, in so many words, it's finished. Paul's greatest fight was boasting. It wasn't the beast of Ephesus. It wasn't the change or the shipwreck and all those things. It was boasting. Because he wanted, I've got more education. I'm smarter than that. And he wanted to lift himself up. You can read it. One time he said, I spoke as a fool. Because he just wanted to. But he said, I realize that. I'm tempted to, but I realize that. And so he told the Lord, he said, this thing that's bothering me, whatever it was, you know, Paul was that man that said, and I knew a man caught up to the third heaven, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I know not. Who was that man? Who was it, everybody, as Johnny Cash said? It was him. But he was trying not to lift himself up by saying he knew a man. And I got up so high, I saw things that wasn't even, I had to take me back, Lord. I couldn't even tell you what it was. It was so many things. Well, what was it? Now you got me wondering. But then he had a thorn. Right there, in his side. Anybody ever had? You might be sitting by it, so I'm not going to make you raise your hand. Adam had a thorn, a pain in his side too. He had a thorn in his side. And he asked the Lord three times. He said, I sought the Lord thrice, is how he put it. Lord, take this thing away. Take this thing away. Take it away. Take it away. And the Lord said, no. My grace is all you need. It's sufficient. And you know what he said? He left it there lest I boast. Because I was so tempted. If he took this away, I would get out of hand. I would lift myself up. But last time I checked, pride comes before the fall.
And so he said, I more gladly then, I am happy that I have this weakness, because now it contains me to be who Christ wants me to be and not who I want to be. You have to be careful when you be what you want to be. You ask little kids, what do you want to be? Do we ever ask them, what does Christ want you to be? So this morning, people that want you to prove it on the job, prove it at home, prove it wherever you go, prove it, prove it, prove it. You're tempted to prove it. But you better stay away from those that want you to prove it, lest you bring yourself down and say, what did I do that for? What did I do that for? Amen. Did you learn anything this morning? If thou be, hallelujah, let your life speak for itself. Hallelujah. And it will. God bless you. Let's take a quick break and come back for morning worship.